Hello and welcome back. This is As It Is, a program that helps you learn and improve your American English. Listen carefully and read along with us. Today, we begin with the thoughts of the President of Lithuania. Her country was once under the domination of the Soviet Union. What she has to say about Russia's recent actions in the world will be of interest to you. Then we will talk about the politics of choosing a national language. The situation in India is at the top of our list today. As It is coming to you from VOA. Now, here is part one. The presidents of Russia and Lithuania are both experts in the sport of karate. Some observers say the two leaders are equal, at least when they compete with words. In Lithuania, July is the season of song festivals, like this one in the capital, Vilnius. But right now, Lithuania is not experiencing much harmony with its eastern neighbor, Russia. In fact, President Dalia Grybauskaitė sees just the opposite.
Now we're seeing aggressive rhetoric, aggressive behavior, aggressive propaganda, and informational wars.
The Lithuanian leader warns that what she calls great Russian chauvinism is fueling rebellion in Ukraine. Pro-Russian rebels there want to separate from the rest of the country.
So the great Russian chauvinism, which is now increasingly in Russia, it's mainly very much depends on the elite who are trying to revive it. And this is very dangerous. So I'm not sure that it will be over after 5 years because it very much relates personally with President Putin.
Ms. Grybauskaitė recently won a second 5-year term as president. She was sworn in last weekend. Lithuania is the largest of the three Baltic countries. All three are members of the European Union and the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. President Grybauskaitė warns that Russia's interference in Ukraine this year marks a dangerous turn in Russia's relations with its neighbors.
It's very worrying, and it looks that it's not over, that the same methods are now used in East Ukraine. The same threats, at least not directly military yet, but informational, cyber, propaganda wars already. We are feeling ourselves, Baltic states, Poland, for example. The military exercises also we do have on our borders, Kaliningrad region.
Ukraine, the United States, and some European countries have accused Russia of permitting fighters and weapons to reach the pro-Russian rebels in Ukraine. Russian officials have denied the claim. President Vladimir Putin and other Russian officials defend the country's takeover of Crimea earlier this year. They say it followed a legal election in which Crimeans voted to join Russia. Like in eastern Ukraine, a large population of Russian speakers lives in the Baltic countries. President Grybauskaitė criticized the Russian government for acting against neighboring countries that have Russian speakers. She compared this policy to Germany's actions before World War II.
We're seeing that the methods which have been used in the 30s of last century starting to be introduced even now in 21st century.
In answer to Russia's recent actions, President Grybauskaitė said her country is increasing defense spending. Lithuania aims to reach NATO's target of 2% of gross domestic product for defense. Lithuania is also working to reduce its dependency on Russia for all its natural gas. President Grybauskaitė expects these actions will help guarantee her nation's independence, even with Russia's new strength in the region. Choosing an official national language can be difficult, at times even dangerous. This is especially true for countries that have many languages and a colonial past, like India, for example. In India, deciding whether to use English or Hindi includes issues of social standing, history, nationalism, and even geography. It is a socio-political geo-lingua debate. It is the politics of language. Ana Mateo explains.
The question of whether to use English or Hindi is filled with India's colonial history and class struggle. And India is again debating the issue. New government leadership is moving toward making Hindi the official language of government communications. Prime Minister Narendra Modi prefers to use Hindi. Since taking office, Mr. Modi uses mostly Hindi when speaking in Parliament and with Indian officials or foreign leaders. Neerja Chaudhary is an independent political analyst. She says Mr. Modi is the son of a poor tea seller. He has come through the ranks or worked his way up in life.
But Mr. Modi, he is representing a different India. But he's also come through the ranks, you know, his humble beginnings, and he's made his way up.
No one questions the Prime Minister's personal language choice. However, many criticize his plan to make English second to Hindi when it comes to the working language of government. Hindi is widely spoken in the North. The North is also the power center of the ruling Bharatiya Janata Party. The southern and eastern states in India have always chosen among local languages, or English. About 50 years ago, efforts to make Hindi the country's only official language caused violent riots in the South. Perhaps wanting to avoid repeating that mistake, Prime Minister Modi showed that he has no problem with the English language. After watching the launch of a satellite in the southern Andhra Pradesh state, Mr. Modi surprised many by making his first speech in English since becoming Prime Minister.
My congratulations to our brilliant space scientists and the Department of Space for yet another successful launch of the Polar Satellite.
Some political observers say that was an intelligent move to calm the South, where many of the scientists call home. But officials in New Delhi continue to be under pressure to use Hindi, and many are clearly unhappy about that. India's upper middle class includes many senior, or top, government officials. They grew up mostly speaking English in their homes and in school. They can speak Hindi, but their written communication skills are often poor. So to keep in step with the Prime Minister, many are trying to quickly improve.